The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Rejoining us for our Hot Takes episode are Jeremy Schilling and Chris Filico joining us off the bench for the injured Terry Cushman. He talked too much and won't be joining us for this episode. I am your host, Charlie Smith. With some of our hot takes, typically we don't get that many, but today's been kind of busy, which is great. So, Jeremy, why don't you lead us off with your favorite hot take that you saw on that list?
Yeah, so there's a lot going on here. Pendramin Button at ZooWill21 tweeted, "The holes in this lineup bother me. The Cassis idea is going to be 30 home runs max and maybe 280 average. We need another catcher, and someone please get Massa in the lineup." There's not a lot here that I agree with, and I'll hit on each of these comments briefly. There's literally no track record to say that he's going to be a 30 home run guy and then he's going to hit 280. And if you're going to cite to the second half of 2023, then I'm going to cite to the first half of 2023 and 2024. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm just confused by the portion of the fan base that has a conclusion on a player with no evidence or factual support saying that he's that type of player. I'm just going to start doing that too. Rafael is going to hit 40 bombs, have 100 RBIs, and be hitting third in the lineup by August. Like, there's no basis for me to be saying that. So I just don't get it. I hope I'm wrong. I root for every player in the Red Sox organization to be successful. For those of you that listen to our recap show of the White Sox series, you heard us talk about the needing another catcher thing. So very briefly, I'm going to hit on what I think here. Narvaez looks fine from a backup catcher perspective. Good arm, athletic, takes very good care of himself, and he has hit a little bit so far. No power, but he is putting the ball in play, and he's had a couple of hits, timely hits, where really no one is doing this with runners in scoring position to score to run. So I think we wait out the Wong thing. It's a pinky. I think he'll be back, and we don't need to overreact at that spot. And then the last part of this tweet is, getting Yoshida in the lineup. My first question would be where, and I think he makes us worse because he can't play first. Like, I like his bat. He puts the ball in play. He hits to all fields. He'll sprinkle in a home run, but he can't run. He can't throw, and he doesn't have the athleticism to play defense in the big leagues. So if you do play him, I hope he gets scorching hot for 20 games and you can trick a team into taking him, even if you have to pay some of the money. But that's the only reason why I want to see Yoshida on the way this roster is currently built. Now, if there's an injury and you have to put him in the left field, or it moves Devers to first and you put him at DH, I'd be okay with that. But with our current health, where the roster is today, I just don't see Yoshida fitting on this club.
Chris.
Yeah, so I'll go backwards on that tweet. So Yoshida, I agree with you. The one thing I would make the argument is he'll at least make contact with the ball. But again, where do you put him? So I don't know the answer to that. So that's one point of that. The Connor Wong thing, I would agree. Like, it's a pinky. He's going to get better. I think the frustration with the Connor Wong thing is it goes deeper than that. I think the fact that we don't have Teal as the future just like exacerbates this whole situation for the fan base, because yeah, Narvaez as a backup catcher is fine. And I think Wong will be okay for this season, but I think that there's this question mark, is Wong the future? He's also the last remaining standing player from the whole Mookie Betts trade. So there's thoughts on that. And then I think the last part was Casas 280, 30 bombs or something like that. I have my own hot take based off of this hot take. You have a better chance of seeing Casas probably win an Emmy for the Netflix series that's about to come out and drop from last year than him hitting 280 or 30 bombs based on what I have seen. Because to your point, Jeremy, yeah, we could all cite the second half of 2023. There's a first half, there's a all of 2024, and there's what my eyes see right now. And none of that adds up to 280 or 30 bombs. But good luck on the Emmy, Tristan. Charlie?
Good take, Charlie.
Yeah, I don't even think it's fair it deserved a pause. You have to dissect this like a bit at a time, right? And thank you, Jeremy, for that input.
You're welcome.
Casas, like we talked about once before, right? Oh, he's a 4,100 guy. You have to do it to be it. You're not it yet. You may not be it. We pray that you are, because otherwise Jeremy's going to have a coronary. And I'm going to lose it. It's going to be a really bad day. He might still win the Emmy, and that would make it worse. And to Chris's point, then he wins that. There's going to be just nonstop eyes at him because he always has an opinion, always has something to say, and can't necessarily back it up. That's a problem. If you talk the talk, you better walk the walk. This is Boston. Not Miami, not Chicago, not those like dumpster diving teams that are just hot trash. They just don't care about their organization. This is the Boston Red Sox. You need to start putting in a little bit more effort. Your opinions are your own. I respect them. Stuff outside of baseball, nobody cares. We want to see you perform before we hear about, you know, what day of the week you like the most, what your favorite breakfast is, and all that other stuff. Right now, we don't want to hear about breakfast. We don't want to know about your workout routine. We just want you to perform. Now, on the flip side, we need another catcher. And someone please get Massa in the lineup. I would love to get Massa in the lineup. Some people are going to knock that. That's fine. For 2 months stretch towards the second, God bless you. For 2 months stretch towards the end of the year, Masataka Yoshida was hitting .329. For I believe July and August, and just went off, was like one of the reasons why we were actually relevant. And I use the word relevant because we were awful. We were bad. And when he came back, he was on it. And thank God he was. We do need to get another catcher. And to your point, when we got rid of Kyle Teal, that was a necessary evil that had to happen. There was no move for Garrett Crochet without Kyle Teal leaving. That was the player they wanted. So it was get Garrett Crochet now, move Kyle Teal, pray that he doesn't turn into Mike Piazza or a tier under that, and then move forward. Or you keep Kyle Teal, pray he turns into that on your team and not be too disappointed if he doesn't. And then you're going to have to pay upwards of $250+ to get Garrett Crochet to be a member of the Boston Red Sox in 2026 and beyond. Or 2027. I forget what year whatever it is. It was a necessary evil that had to happen in order to get a top of the line front end elite starter. It was not happening else, like in any other like way. No other planet was going to, there's no way it was going to happen. That's it. So it's an interesting hot take, Benjamin Button at Zoo Will 21. I agree with some of the things that you said. I vehemently disagree with others because, as we all said, you can't be something until you've been it. If you want to pick and choose what goes with your point, then that's a flawed argument. Because if you're just going to pick the things that support your argument and you're not being really diplomatic about everything, we're going to be able to pick it apart by literally mentioning everything else that you didn't mention. Because there's no consistency if you just talk about like a short spot. I think that's all I'm going to say, with that one. Anything else you gents want to add?
Nope.
Chris, go ahead. What was your hot take, bud?
So mine is from Lewis, and you could find him on X Twitter at Lewis P. Carmus. His was too early to overreact. The East is not good right now. And we're still right in it. We'll start to play better. Our fan base is horrible at it. Some people are clowns. I want to pause for a second because I kind of take it personally because I am one to overreact in some moments. I'm very disappointed with the start of the season to the Sox. I get what Lewis is saying. And listen, I'm the same guy that picked 3 out of 4 from Toronto, right? Like, I was on the upswing with this team and felt very positive about it. But the facts are the facts. We're 8-9, right? And I'll ask you guys before I get into my point. We could all agree that we would this team should be better than the last 3 seasons based on who's on the roster, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think they certainly should be better this year.
Okay. Yeah. So we're 8-9 going into what would be the 20th game after this next 3-game series. The last 3 seasons after 20 games, 12-8 last year, last place team. 10-10, last place team, 2023. 7-13, last place team, 2022. At best, if we sweep this series, we are 11-9. So 1 game off of the last place team last year with a more talented roster. Why do I have to be happy with that? Why do I have to have faith that that is going to be an outcome that is going to be favorable when it hasn't been to this point? And it's not like the teams in our division have gotten off to these great starts the last couple of years. They've had cold starts in some cases, with the exception, I believe, the Orioles a couple of seasons ago. Outside of that, everyone's been pretty mediocre. But at the end of the day, we end up being the last place team. So I get the point. I would like to have faith. But like, I'm looking at this team the same as Tristan Casas right now. Like, prove it to me. I don't want to hear about these players' past. I don't want to hear about their track record. I want to see it in Boston, on this squad, with results. We literally just lost to one of the worst teams, like, ever. 2 out of 3. And we're lucky to win today off of, like, a gem from Brochet. Like, let's be honest. That was a no-hitter that got way too close for comfort. So, yeah, I want to say that there's some overreacting. There definitely are some takes that are probably on the verge of that. But to just blanket statement that everyone's a clown because they don't like the start of the season, I think that's a clown take, to be honest. What's your guys' thoughts?
So I subscribe to you can't win a division in the first 20 games of the year, but you can lose it. So something like 7-13, 6-14, you're already chasing an uphill battle. In previous years, we just didn't have an ace. We had an imbalance in the lineup, just totally heavy lefty based. You throw a lefty out there and it's shutdown factory. I think this team is built better. And so I get your point with where they are after 20 games and where they end up, which has been last place. But I think this team is just better. They're built better. They have more pieces. They're balanced in the lineup. They're more athletic. We've got the veteran leadership finally from the Bregman perspective. I personally believe Devers, Duran, Bregman are going to be who they've been in the recent past. And so I do think they're going to be okay. But I'm also going to overreact. I'm also going to overreact. The Casas is still there. You don't know what's happening in the clubhouse. Cora has not been as good as he normally is, in my opinion. I'm a huge Cora guy. I wanted the extension this time last year, and when I got it, I was happy. But there's things happening I don't like. Like, why are you as the manager complaining about the weather? What did the lights turn on? It was 80 when the other team was hitting. No, it was cold for everybody. You just didn't perform, and the Blue Jays did. You know, so the personality of your organization almost always comes from the personality of leadership. So if Cora is going to be making excuses, the players are going to make excuses. There's just things I'm seeing that have me concerned. But I think this team is better. I think if they can move on from Casas, they will. Earlier, Brad Sandler suggested that they move Roman Anthony to first base. Maz on 98.5 talked about that this week on the radio. I agree. Because by the way, you can move him to first and then not play him at first in the big leagues if it doesn't work out. But Casas is having trouble catching the ball. He's not hitting. He's an automatic out. He strikes out a ton. If you could put Roman Anthony over there and he can play average to above average first base, it just opens up his options. So, and it fits a current club need. So, I'm somewhere in the middle between Chris and the hot take.
Charlie, before you go, the one thing, because you just made me think about that, Jeremy, is we've talked about it on a previous episode. Like, there's the inevitability of injuries, right? We already have the Wong injury, which is minor in the grand scheme of things. Fitz, I don't know what that looks like, but there's a pitcher that's now injured. We got a catcher. And we all know it's inevitable. Like, Story is going to get hurt at some point. It'll probably be season ending. And then what does that do to the infield? Where all of a sudden now you're taking someone from the outfield, like a Rafael, to have to play because he's a utility guy at this point. And you're getting not as good of infield defense. And now you're forcing someone out into the outfield. Maybe it's a Roman Anthony. And what does that do to the trajectory of this team? Because I agree with you. On paper, I want to have the confidence that this team is going to be better and it's not going to be the same result. But that, like, an injury like that could derail a season because it brings people not ready yet or forces people that are not equipped to play those positions long-term.
So when I say roster, the building of the roster, I include guys on the 40 man. So in your situation, Story goes down. I'm not rooting for that. I don't want that. He's stayed healthy so far. He takes tremendous care of himself. You have multiple options. Rafael to short, Duran to center, Anthony in left, or you take Meyer and just plug him at shortstop and see if he can play. So, I mean, the team, like, an injury this year in some of these obvious scenarios, including Cassis, who has a track record of being hurt, they're built to kind of handle it better. Last year, they had to go outside the organization to get Smith. And then as soon as Cassis is back, they DFA him, even though he'd been mostly a plus player. I don't envision a scenario like that happening. You have pitching depth. Fitz goes down. He gets an MRI on Monday, so we're going to find out. I listened to his comments. He was talking like a guy who was going to make his next start or was hoping to. And so maybe that's a short-term thing. I think it was his chest, his pec, instead of his actual shoulder. So if it's a muscle soreness or fatigue thing, you know, that calmed my nerves a little bit. But let's say he doesn't make his next start. Bayo just finished his third rehab start, I believe, yesterday. So you would assume Bayo is going to come back with 60 to 75 pitches and be ready to go at the big league level. So again, I just think, like, balance of the lineup, pitching depth, you know, where the prospects are, they're all, you know, Campbell's up or they're ready to go. I just think they're built to plug holes better than they have been in years past.
Jeremy, I'm sold. You must be related to Sam Kennedy because that was a hell of a job. I'm back on the wagon, boys. I hate
Sam Kennedy. That was tough.
So I have a lot of opinions on this one. I'm nervous about every pitching injury now that happens based on the fact that I feel that every time a pitcher has soreness, it's done. It's not like the soreness is done. You're done. Like, the season is done. Justin Steele is that example. Justin Steele has dealt with tendonitis in his shoulder. And we thought, okay, cool. He's been kind of not great this year, has still managed to get 3 wins on the season, has an ERA near 5, is striking out almost 1 an inning. They mentioned they were going to get a second opinion. Well, guess what? UCL damage. You're done for the year. I pray that's not what we have with Richard Fitz, right? Now, too early to overreact. Yes and no. I didn't think the Red Sox were going to be where we were right now. I thought we were going to be maybe in first place by half a game to a game. We're now sitting in third, fourth place. I think we're a game and a half out. And that's not okay for me right now because we have a rough series coming up. It's not the last one of the year that's going to be tough. There are going to be additional injuries. Richard Fitz, if he doesn't make his next start, who are we plugging playing there? I really am not sure who I trust. And if the bats aren't waking up, then what are we doing? I think there is some cause for concern to slightly overreact. Am I going to say the season is over? No. Jeremy, I hear what you're saying. I know that you don't think that a team can win it in the first month, but you sure as hell can lose it. I'd be willing to check out the membership to see what the benefits are. I don't know if I want to say I want to join it just yet. I don't think the Red Sox are there yet. I don't think the Red Sox are at a place where they've thrown 2025. Now, next part, the East is not good right now. I'm going to edit that. The American League is not good. There are a couple teams that are above average. The National League is stellar. You should not struggle against American League teams that are not the Texas Rangers. That's it. New York Yankees have Aaron Judge, who's been scuffling for a little bit. He's still one of the best players in all of baseball, not even using a torpedo bat. If he was, I don't know how many hits he would have and home runs he would have, because using a torpedo bat isn't cheating, Jeremy. I wanted to make sure you heard me say it at least once on this episode, but it's not. Juan Soto's in the National League, not really performing. All of the other superstars are in the National League. Some of them are performing, some are not. We still haven't faced any of those teams, and if we have, they haven't done anything against us. So the fact that we're not performing that well right now is a little bit of a concern, at least in my eyes. Next part, we'll start to play better. That only happens if we start hitting. If we don't, then we're going to continue playing the same way, which is a problem. And Louis P. Carms, Louis, I appreciate the hot take and I do appreciate the optimism. I think, like you, we will play better, but I'm hoping it's sooner rather than later. Because truth be told, if this takes another 2-3 weeks, I'm going to be joining that membership of Jeremy's and I'm not really looking forward to it. I think Jeremy's a swell guy, but this is pretty unbearably bad if we lose the 2025 season because we have a much better team and we're not performing. I don't like the... Yeah?
I never said they lost the division.
No. But you mentioned you could mantra. You could be a member, right? You believe that mantra of you could be a team.
I mean, you could lose early. You could lose your season early.
They haven't. They're one game out of 500. Yeah. They haven't done that.
Right. But if, for example, the injuries are not just day-to-day or 7-day, 10-day IL, whatever, and they are going to be prolonged, like Justin Steele's injury, who's done for all of this year and won't come back until some point of 2026, that gives me a little bit of some concern there. Some people are clowns. Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. Sometimes we clown ourselves because our takes aren't great. There are other people out there that believe that their takes are gold, and we're still kind of trying to figure out why. And it is what it is. All in all, though, Louis or Louis, I apologize. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. I do think the Red Sox will do better. I'm just hoping that it's sooner rather than later, because truth be told, when you do lose a series against the Chicago White Sox, it's not just head scratching. It's really frustrating. We need to be winning those easy series. That's it. Anything else you gents want to add to that hot take? Boom. Third hot take. This is going to be from Ryan Padula at Padula underscore Ryan. Casas will be dealt for an arm by the deadline. From your lips to God's ears, if you could do that and also maybe create a 30 plus 100 RBI candidate that hits, what'd you say, Chris, like 280 or something like that, something miraculous, that would be great. I would love to see it. I would drive him myself. I think he's a fine dude. I just want him to start hitting the ball and doing what we need him to do. Right now, I don't want to hear, as I've mentioned before, about any extracurricular things, because I don't care. Jeremy so eloquently put this years ago, I believe it was 6 or 7 years ago, and it made me think, I don't care what you do outside of baseball, you're here to play the game. And right now, we're too busy hearing about your potential Emmy that you might get per Chris and all the other stuff that's happening outside of the game, and I'm kind of tired of it. I think Jeremy is too, and I think a large majority of Red Sox Nation is also kind of tired. I do not want to see you get up to the plate, start talking yourself, and then go back to the dugout because you either flew out, grounded out, or struck out. I'm over that. It's been long enough. It's been almost 3 weeks. You need to wake the hell up. That's it. That being said, when you do wake up, I think that the best thing for him and for the Boston Red Sox would be to possibly find a partner where there is a pitcher that joins the Boston Red Sox to match up with Garrett Crochet and hopefully Brian Baio when he comes back, all systems go and Tanner Houck is lighting it up and you have an elite one, a just under elite status number two, a great 3-4, and then we're really cooking with gas. And I really think this team is just a couple of small tweaks away from just running away, but we need everything to start hitting. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of stops on the train and I want to go express nonstop. I don't want any more breaks. Chris, why don't you go first before we have Jeremy weigh in?
I'm going to take it a little bit easier on the take than you did, Charlie, because we don't know what that arm is, right? Like, I think that's it's a pretty broad statement. Tristan Casas is going to get traded for an arm. I would agree. At this point, if there was an arm we would get, it would be the arm that James Franco cut off in 127 hours. That's about the only arm we could probably get for Tristan Casas at this point. Now, if it's anything better than that, then I'm probably leaning a little bit more towards your side, Charlie, to wake up and, you know, smell the morning coffee at this point. But that's all I have to say at this point.
So I'm going to give the reference of the year award. It's early, but the early favorite is going to be that reference, Chris. That was excellent. So I don't know if there's a hot take that I want to have come true more than this one, especially if it's a big league arm that's going to make a difference. The problem I have right now with the take is he has no value. They tried to trade him straight up in the offseason to the Mariners. That was a non-starter. They tried to package other players into the deal to soften the, you know, taking Casas. There was no deal that we could work to get rid of him. No, the Red Sox aren't coming out saying no. Even Sam Kennedy, who will lie about the color of the sky, isn't denying that they tried to trade him. So they tried to trade him and they couldn't do it. And then your hope is, hey, go hit in April and then we can have that value. Maybe we go back to the Mariners or another club and say, hey, look, here's an improved commodity. And he has done nothing. He has no value. The only thing I could think is there's some team out there that says, look, we'll take Tristan Casas. Here's a high A guy who throws 98 miles an hour and is Rick Vaughn before he gets his glasses. Because that's the only type of prospect you're going to get, a guy you're never going to hear of after the trade is completed. He's never going to come through the system. They already know he's not a prospect. That's the only thing you can get from this. Now, with that said, even if he does, and I want him to hit, okay? People think I'm like rooting against the players. I'm not. If he hits, and hopefully he does, hopefully it's before the All-Star break and you go get that arm that's going to make a difference on the big league club. So, or at least on the 40 man where you can have some pitching depth. So I hope this hot take comes true. I don't see where it is. We haven't necessarily mentioned the injury history, but there is that. I'm not hoping that he gets hurt. I'm just saying he has a history of doing so. So, and I think we have internal options. I do think Roman Anthony should be playing first base in AAA. And I know it's not a popular opinion, but he says he's now the DH, so he's like not doing the field thing anymore. But I think Devers can catch the ball at first base. I do. So, and his biggest issue was his footwork and his throwing, and that's largely eliminated at first base. So I think at least for the next 4 to 5 years, Rafi Devers could be a first baseman. I don't think it puts us, you know, in the best possible position, but it's, you know, with Casas not catching the ball this month, maybe it is. I don't know.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to add to that one? No.
Nope.
All right. So we got one more in here, and it's kind of hitting me a little funny only because I didn't think we'd be seeing certain levels of performance on certain platforms. So this is coming from Informed Diehard at Informed Diehard. Sell high on Story while he's healthy and hitting. So sell high on Story while he's healthy and hitting. Chris, would you like to go first?
I think it's kind of sad at this point that like high on Story is the fact that he's just healthy and he's gotten a couple of hits at this point. At this point in his Red Sox career, that is a high. I don't even know how to approach like what we would get for that. How many years are even left on that deal, Charlie, with how much money? Is it two or three now?
You still have a couple. I mean, we've been floating. We still have, I think, 2 years left of Story and I think three of Masataka Yoshida. I think that's what it was. Yeah. So,
unless you're willing to, you know, eat the majority of that money on the 2 years, and even at that, like, what are we getting back? I would much rather entertain the Casas deal for the arm from 127 hours at this point. That's more realistic.
Yeah. So real quick, Jeremy, before you weigh in, his last year in Colorado, he had 24 home runs and 75 RBIs, and he hit 251. The numbers were slowly starting to creep down for 3 years as far as average, on base percentage, sluggage, everything, right? As a member of the Red Sox, in 4 years, counting 2025, Trevor Story has, guess how many home runs? Take a wild guess, wild number. Can't be wrong.
20?
I'd say 22.
24. He has matched his numbers from 2021 in 4 years of playing for the Red Sox. Albeit, not one of those seasons has he played more than 93 games. Last year, we already know what happened. We thought he was going to be done for the year. He came back, wanted to grind. Obviously, we saw a very emotional side of Trevor Story where he wanted to come back out, and I do give him a lot of credit for doing that. But to your point, Chris, what do you get for a shortstop who is not young anymore? This guy's 32 years old. He has injury problems. He hasn't played back-to-back full seasons or 145 games plus since 2017 and 2018. It's been 7 years since we've seen him play 140 games back-to-back.
Well, I think your point, Charlie, is like he was already on the decline before he even got to Boston.
100%.
Injuries, right?
And 100%.
And we could talk about all day the fact of like the Colorado era versus Boston, right? But then he comes here and he's been injured 4 of the first 6 years to the point where he's not even playing near a full season. So right. Already on the decline, taking away Colorado air, and now add injury after injury 4 straight years. I don't know. A bag of balls? We'll get a bag of balls. Let's do it.
You'll get something. But I mean, I think Terry and I, we talked about this. Jeremy, you might have been on that one as well. But I think it's safe to say that the signing of Trevor Story was for no other reason other than to appease Red Sox fans, because we signed and we signed no one. We added nothing. The only players that we got were people that were coming back from IL. We did nothing that offseason. We did nothing. We got minor pieces. Nothing worked out. Trevor Story came in. Pressure was exceedingly high. And, you know, that's that. So I don't know what kind of value you're going to get for a guy who's hitting around 300. He's had 3 homers so far this year. He's literally put the team on his back for one of those wins so far this year, because Garrett Kershaw was throwing a no-hitter and he was not winning the game, which is insane. So he comes out, carries the team offensively for one game. Do I expect Trevor Story to do that? No, not on a regular basis. Do I expect him to be on the IL for at least some point of the season? Yeah, because history has been repeating itself for 7 straight years. So, I don't know. I genuinely don't know how much value you're going to be getting from a player that spends quite a bit of time on the IL. It's just statement of fact, you know? Jeremy, anything you'd like to add, my friend?
This is another hot take that I hope comes true. But, you know, just quickly, because you guys have hit it, he has no value. His contract is enormous. I would think we would have to pay like more than 60, 75% of it just to move the player. The only thing I could see is you package him with someone that you actually like and that has value, but then you're detracting from the roster to move a player. I don't really love that idea either. I think you're married to the player and you signed a bad deal, and unfortunately you have to deal with that. The other thing is he can't hit high leverage fastballs. The game has evolved into this high velocity effort every throw. That's why starting pitchers are only going 4 or 5 innings. It's why every reliever's, you know, the hard throwing relievers are 1 inning. They come in max effort. I just don't expect to see him hit down the stretch in games. Once you get to a bullpen where seemingly everyone has 5 guys that throw 96, 97, 98, he's an out. He just can't hit. The ball he hit in the Toronto series was a curveball. He just can't get to those higher velocity fastballs. And that's going to get worse, not better, as he gets older. And I think Major League Baseball knows that. And I just don't think he has any value.
I think it's hard for players to have immense value within the first month of the season. people are already thinking about your past and they're wondering how long you can continue this. If you're still hitting 300 and it's now June 1st, I think we're completely having a different conversation. If the Red Sox are also out of it and it's June 1st, we're having a different conversation. Because at that point, you've got to start retooling and planning for 2026. If he's doing really, really well and you can get another team to eat almost all that contract, or they're willing to take it on because they have faith in it, I don't think there's a team out there that would do that. But if they'll take a majority of that contract, I would be willing to entertain that because we have shortstops up and coming that can handle that role. And, you know, the Red Sox are no stranger to eating contracts, a la Chris Sale, Pablo Sandoval, David Price. Those are three of the pretty large ones that we ate, and they did nothing for us for 2+ years after they left the Boston Red Sox. Chris Sale went on to win a World Series. David Price went on to win a World Series. Pablo Sandoval wishes he won another World Series, but he already got three. So yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces there, but I just don't think there's going to be enough interest in his value at the present moment. It's definitely great when you're the best hitter on your team right now. You got 3 homers, 8 RBIs, you're hitting over 300, you're playing really good defense for the most part. Like, there's probably going to be a team that's willing to maybe take a chance, especially if their guy goes down and is done for the year. Then we're having a different conversation, but you got to mix that in with the fact that he's got to have at least another full month of exceeding expectations as far as baseball is concerned. Anything else you guys want to add?
I mean, I'll do you one better at this point. If he's not hurt by June 1st, right? And it pains me to say that because I actually do like Trevor Story as a person.
Sure.
And the fact that, like, from a gamer standpoint, because I do think he cares. I think we saw that last year when he tried to come back. It's super emotional. He puts in the work, and it's just unfortunate. I'm looking at this now. He's actually got 3-year, $75 million, 2028 team option on that deal. So, yeah, I mean, if he's healthy and still hitting well, then, I mean, I guess we could revisit it. But the likelihood of him hitting and being healthy by June 1st is slim to none now at this point. So
he also has an opt-out after this year if you want to hold on to that possibility.
Player opt-out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's happening. I thought
it's after not. 2020. I mean,
yeah, he has 2 more years after this year. So I'm pretty sure I said that. 2 years for him, and then Massa's got 3 years left on his deal. And that's just going to be the way that it goes. I don't remember the structure of Story's deal. It was 6 for $140, but I don't remember opt-outs being a part of it. I don't remember mentioning that or talking about that. So if he ends up lighting up the Christmas tree, dude, maybe we don't have to worry about, like, the trade. Maybe he ends up saying, you know what, I'm curious to see if there's
zero chance. He's willing.
You know what, when he sees
Costas, I hear you. I'm just saying, Emmy, you know, what's
going to be, I said, when he sees Costas win that Emmy, he's going to be like, you know what? That guy bet on himself. I want to bet on myself.
Maybe he will. You get to say told you so if you end up being right. Anything else you gents want to add?
Nope. Go Sox.
Excellent. Yeah, exactly. Go Sox. To echo Jeremy, that's going to do it for the Bastards. Everyone have a great one. Take care.